Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. We're so excited to be joining you. We're here to talk about your dogs, your cats, and maybe even some small critters. Anything you've got a question?
We've got answers for all of it.
The Marty and Laura Show is brought to you by Veterinary Village. With locations throughout Wisconsin, Veterinary Village is dedicated to enhancing the quality of animal and human lives today and into the future.
Welcome, you guys. Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. I'm Laura.
And I'm Marty.
There we go. We have a really cool thing that we're going to start this year. We're going to do sort of a kids corner, kind of talk to some of our young people a little bit. And one of the things that we're going to do that's super exciting is there's going to be some coloring pages available on the Marty and Laura Show website, like a free download and a low-cost download if you want more pages and all kinds of stuff. So we're really excited about that. Be on the lookout for that. The other thing that we wanted to do is talk to everybody about how you got to be a veterinarian, right? Mm. And talk to our kids that maybe are going into a STEM program or might go into a STEM program or all that kind of stuff. So Marty, talk to us. What is it that you do, and who is a good young person to be thinking about veterinary school?
So a veterinarian, I'll tell you, it's the best career in the world. I absolutely love that I'm in this career and have been for 4+ decades. So I consider myself to be really lucky. With a degree in veterinary medicine, you can do so many things. It's just absolutely amazing how versatile it is. And I've always been the kind of person that looks for versatility in my career, in my life. When I started taking music lessons as a kid, I took the French horn because you could do it in the marching band, you could do it in an orchestra, and you could do it in this, and you could do
okay,
it in that.
Okay, stop. So, stop right now. Marty Greer played the French horn.
When I was a kid.
This is a thing that I did not know that needs to be.
Well, when I was a kid, I took piano lessons and I took French horn lessons. And so I love the versatility of the veterinary career. So I don't want to get off track here, because the opportunities in veterinary medicine are so wide reaching that it gives you so many chances to do all kinds of things. So you can practice small animal medicine, you can practice large animal medicine, you can do exotics, you can do zoo work, you can do lab animal work, you can have a degree in food science and go into food safety, you can do public health, you can do industry, which means pet food, vaccines, pharmaceuticals, pathology. The number of options that this gives you is just immense. And it doesn't really end. When you graduate from veterinary school, you can do all those things. Mm-hmm. And then you can, if you choose to, specialize. So there's lots of specialties as well that mean some additional training beyond veterinary school. So if you decide that you want to do repro like I do, or ophthalmology, or dermatology, or cardiology, or any of the specialties that we see on the human side, we have basically the same on the veterinary side, oncology, all the stuff. Mm-hmm. So it gives you a lot of opportunities. My husband, for 24 years, did large animal medicine, mostly dairy cattle, a few pigs, a few horses, but mostly dairy cattle. And when he walked into the office one day and said, I'm done with large animal, I'm going to come and work with you, and I said, you can work for me, then he became a small animal veterinarian, went back and did training in acupuncture and chiropractic, like training, which is veterinary spinal manipulation therapy, and he became a small animal veterinarian without going back to school. He took a couple of courses, short courses, and then was able to do those things. So you can do so many different things with this degree that I can't really emphasize how versatile this degree is. And there is also overlap into One Health, which is the human side. So that can be public health, that can be other aspects of it. So there's just, now the only species I'm not allowed to practice on is the human. So I'm not allowed to treat humans, even though some people would say that they're animals. And some people say, my veterinarian does a better job than my physician.
Yes, I have frequently actually asked my local veterinarian, could you just x-ray this for me? Because I'm just saying, it's just, please, it'll take 2 seconds. I can, you know, like all you have to do is turn on the x-ray machine. I can do this.
Yeah. The answer is no. But nevertheless, you can do every species on the planet except for humans. And that's okay, because I went into veterinary medicine because I love medicine. I love science. I love all those things. but I don't like sick people. So I skirted that whole issue. I worked as a human phlebotomist, drawing blood on patients for 3 years for my summer breaks, and learned very quickly that my choice to go into veterinary medicine was a really good choice, because sick people are, well, there's t-shirts that veterinarians wear about sick people. So I won't go into any details. I'll just say veterinarians don't like sick people. So that's the science behind it, is I get to do all that stuff except the human stuff. So it's all good.
It's good. Super good. And so if you are a animal loving 10, 12 year old kid, what are some of the things that you can do now that set you up for the opportunity to pursue this as a career?
Sure. So I'm today at the dog show, the Great American Dog Show in Chicago, the greater Chicago area. And we had a greet the breeds, because they had to change it. Greet the breeds session today with our farm dogs, with our Danish Swedish farm dogs. And about halfway through it, this young lady came up to the table and started to talk to us. And she was fawning over the dogs, really crazy about them. Her mom was there. Her dad was there. We started talking. And it was pretty clear that she wanted another dog and wanted some of this stuff. And I finally looked at them, because mom was talking to me, dad was talking to me. And I'm like, so how old is she? And they said 11. And I said, tell me about this. And they said, well, every one of our kids, we have four children, we're going to take them on a trip when they're 11 years old. She's the oldest. And she picked going to a dog show. So they're from North Carolina. They got on a plane. They flew to Chicago for the Great American Dog Show. And so she was just loving all of this opportunity, right? So she's at the dog show having a great time. And I looked at her dad and her mom and I said, does she want to be a veterinarian? And they said, oh yeah. So I picked her out because she was just in this regard pretty special. And then I looked at her dad and I said, so what do you do? And he said, I'm a pediatrician at North Carolina at the Human Medical School. I'm like, okay, so I got this nailed. And this is the age group that we see a lot of kids. They can be 4 or 5 years old, absolutely love animals. They can be in that 11-year-old group, and then they can be in that high school group. Mm-hmm. So we see some different groups. First and foremost, you have to have pretty good grades, and you have to be pretty determined that being in school long-term is going to be okay for you. Mm-hmm. If you do a veterinary technician, veterinary assistant degree, that's going to be 2 years after, sometimes 3 years after high school. If you're going to go into veterinary medicine, it's going to be 4 years after high school for college, and then another 4 years for veterinary school, and then potentially longer if you decide that you want to specialize. So basically, you've got to count on 8 years after high school. And there are concerns on all fronts about how much these degrees cost students and their families for them to graduate with professional degrees. But there's a couple things about that. One is that there is a really great website that Veterinary Information Network has put together that shows on a map, you put in what map you're a resident of, and then it shows all the veterinary schools, because there's 28 plus right now. There's some additional schools being added that shows you if you live in this state, how much tuition would be in all these states, and then if you can establish residency in a school state that you want to go to. So that can be really helpful in figuring out tuition. Secondly is the return on investment is really good. Even though it costs you some significant amount of money, getting a master's degree in something is going to cost you almost the same amount, but not with the same future income. So when you look at future income for physicians, for veterinarians, for dentists, for any of the professions, it's a pretty good return on investment. So although parents may be a little worried if they don't have the resources to pay for tuition, and most of them don't, that there are student loan plans. There's a lot of different ways that this can work. So being afraid of the tuition shouldn't be a driving force. Being willing to do that many years of school with good grades and that kind of dedication, knowing that it's hard to get in, but it used to be harder. When Dan and I got into veterinary school, it was about a 10-to-1 ratio. 10 students were applying for every seat. Now it's about 2-to-1 or 3-to-1. So the chances of getting in are much more favorable than they have been in the past.
Scholarships. Seems like this is an area that veterinary medicine seems to do a pretty good job. So, yes. I mean, you know, student loan crisis, all kinds of stuff. So aiming for, right, if you're a kid that wants to do this, thinking ahead, you work really hard to get good grades, to do things that would get you a scholarship, right?
Right. And that may be joining a dog club. That may be showing in juniors, because there's a lot of scholarships with those. Our local dog clubs have affiliated together, and we are paying for a scholarship for veterinary students from our local clubs. So basically, you have to spend the time looking for them and applying for the scholarships. And there's a lot of money out there that never gets claimed. Right. So you have to just be determined enough to take the time to do it. And of course, you want to volunteer at a veterinary clinic, at a humane society, at a shelter, all those things, so you have the experience that it looks like you need to get into veterinary school. There's a lot of steps to it. You need to be involved in student government and in sports and, you know, all those things. So it does require a pretty well-rounded person with a lot of determination and a lot of skills to get into those programs. But there's definitely scholarships out there. There's definitely opportunities out there. And it's absolutely worth it. If this is where your heart says you should go, I will tell you it's the best job in the world. It's the best career in the world, because it gives you so much, so many opportunities and so much back. I mean, a lot of people think it's just about loving the animals. And in reality, it's not just about loving animals, because you do have to work with people. Dogs don't come with credit cards when they come to the vet clinic, but it has a lot to do with wanting to help people as well. And the reward of that interaction and that feedback of loving what you do. So it's not just about money, because it isn't. You know, the scholarships are there, the tuition is there, and the income is good. But it's really about that reward that you get, that oxytocin release you get from your brain saying, I've done an amazing job for this dog, for this cat, for this horse, this cow, this human. It's really all about that. So I think it's really important that if you have a child or a person in your life, it may be a young person, it may not be your own child, but it may be somebody that you're aware of, that you can sit down and have that conversation with them. Is this truly the right career for you? Because it is an amazing career if that's what your goals are.
And there is, you know, we talk about lots and lots and lots of things that AI is going to take the jobs away and there's no jobs. And veterinarians are in very high demand.
Mm-hmm. We are. And there's a certain amount of interaction and physical exam findings and those kinds of things that will never be replaced by a robot, by a computer, by AI. There's always going to be that opportunity. So yes, we can do telemedicine. I can do a consult on the phone with somebody long distance, but I can't look at their dog. I can't feel their abdomen. I can't listen to their heart. I can't do some of those things if I'm remote. So there will be an extent to which that veterinary medicine and veterinary assistants and their technicians and all those things cannot be replaced. Like, a robot's not going to come in the exam room and know how to hold a dog gently or how to get the cat out of the carrier. It's not going to be robotic. It's going to be a human interaction. So I think that's really important.
Talk a little bit about the idea of, with your veterinary degree, maybe you consider some business classes, because the idea of not going to work for like a major corporate thing and being able to have your own independent veterinary business. Talk a little bit about that and some of the downstream issues that we're seeing with corporatization of veterinary clinics.
Sure. So about half of veterinary clinics currently are considered to be owned by corporates or large groups, which has certainly changed how veterinary medicine is delivered, how clients are interacting with people. Mm-hmm. So it has become different. Now, a lot of veterinarians say, we weren't trained anything in business when we were in school. And in reality, our instructors did have courses for us that they wanted us to take. And at the time, because this was the 70s and we were idealistic and young, we really didn't seem very open to the courses that they were trying to teach us. And in retrospect, it would have been a good idea to have paid a little more attention. There is a VBMA group, the Veterinary Medicine Business Association group, that's a student organization that can align really well with the veterinary management group, veterinary study groups. It can align well with other organizations as well, Independent Veterinary Practitioners Association and some of the others. So there are courses, there are classes, there are options and available things that you can do to prepare yourself for business ownership. And that's one of the other really great things that I love about what I do, is I get to do what I want. I have a leadership team, but essentially I get to do what I want to do. If I want to buy a piece of equipment, if I want to change a procedure or protocol, if I want to add something, a service to our practice, I get to do it with my team involved. I don't have to go to a big corporation or a private equity group and say, I would like to do this, or I would suggest that we do that. I get to do it, and I get to hire the people that I want to work with and work with the clients that I want to work with. I have those options because I am an independent veterinary practice. And it's a great thing. I have four practices. It's a great thing. I get to interact with my team, and we get to determine our own destiny.
Yeah, I think that right there, self-determination, there's a lot of studies talking about the young people that are growing up now, the idea of the go to IBM and work 80-hour weeks and, you know, like nobody's into it.
Nobody's into it. And even when I was a kid, my dad worked for a bank, a large bank. I didn't want to put on a suit and drive into traffic and go downtown and sit in a cubicle all day. I knew that wasn't what I wanted. I knew I didn't want to work in a factory. I knew that those were things that weren't appealing to me as a kid. And I knew when I graduated from veterinary school, I didn't want to stay at a university. I knew that wasn't my style. But at the time that I graduated, there were not specialties that would be independent. When there were specialties, you stayed at the veterinary school. You didn't go out and start practices. So I didn't develop a specialty because that wasn't a path that I wanted to take. Can you go back? Absolutely. Can you change your destiny? Absolutely. You go back, you get another degree, you specialize, you do what you want. You get a business degree, you get a public health degree, you do all the, you know, whatever it is that you want to do, you are in charge of your own destiny. And I try to tell people that a lot as staff members and as doctors is you get to pick, man, you get to decide. If you go work for a factory, if you go to work for a corporation, those are not necessarily options that you have. You can climb the corporate ladder, but there's a price to be paid for that.
Always. So final question. We have a special guest who's going to be joining us a little bit later in the podcast.
No, it's going to be so exciting.
It's going to be fantastic. But before we get to Cora, talk to us a little bit about, you've been in the business a long time. Talk to us a little bit about the people that you think are best served as veterinarians. What are their personality types?
You mean for a student that wants to go into veterinary medicine?
Right.
Well, historically, veterinarians are frequently introverts. I'm just going to be straight with you. There has to be a certain amount of extroversion for you to get through it. So if you're an extreme, extreme introvert, it might be pretty difficult for you. You have to be a little bit more moderate introvert or moderate extrovert. So I think we have to understand that that's not unusual for introverts to do this. I have developed the skills to overcome that to an extent, but I still get a little peopled out at certain events. So I know what my boundaries are. I know my limits. I know what I can do, what I can't do. So I think it's important that you don't let that become an overwhelming issue for you. You have to be studious. You have to be determined. You have to be hardworking. I have a young lady that works for me now, and she struggles a little bit with working too many hours or with being overwhelmed. And honestly, there are a lot of hours. When you're in veterinary school, you are in class 40 hours a week, not 12 hours a week like the average, 12 to 18 hours a week in the classroom like the average college student. You are in the classroom 40 hours a week, and you're studying another 40 to 60. So doing that and having a young family can be a significant challenge. People do it now. They didn't used to. They do it now. I'm still not sure that I could, but I went to law school too. So I did that once my kids were out of high school. So I didn't have kids when I was in either veterinary school or law school. So that can be a bit of a challenge, but there's a lot of hard work, a lot of determination. There's a lot of places that it's easy to get kind of beaten down. But if this is your goal and you can just keep your eye on the ball and put your head down, grind through it and realize that it's not forever, it's for 4 years, mm-hmm. and you can do just about anything for that amount of time, mm-hmm. that if that's truly what your goal is, that you're going to just put your head down and do it. It's not necessarily going to be fun to go to veterinary school, but the rewards in the long term are absolutely worth it because I have the freedom to do so much now.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that can be said for a whole lot of things, right?
Like absolutely.
You don't get anything worthwhile for nothing.
And no, no.
I think that's sort of a life lesson that most kids come to eventually, right? I mean, we all get
right.
there.
But you just have to make the decision that if that's your style, that that's what you're going to do. So you plan on it, you work for it. I worked a ton of hours in the summertime in between semesters, both in undergrad and vet school, so that I didn't have to work while I was in veterinary school, but I worked every minute that I possibly could when I was in between semesters and in between school years, so that I could afford to do the things I wanted to do. And there are certain things that you give up. I look at kids now that stop in the morning and pick up a very expensive cup of coffee on their way to class, and then they go to the cafeteria in the veterinary school and buy a very expensive lunch. By my standards, it's expensive. And then they order food through one of the delivery services for evening. And that has never been my style, never will be my style. And so these kids complain about how expensive all this is. And I'm like, you just spent $25 each day to put food into your stomach and drink into your stomach, that there are more effective ways to do it. So, you know, make your own coffee, carry right. your own sack lunch, you know, loaf of bread and peanut butter jar.
I'm telling you, Marty can make a toasted cheese sandwich with an iron in a hotel room, people. So I'm
I have done it. Actually, it was this show I did it at 2 years ago. So yes, I have documentation you can, well, you just learn that you're going to, and it doesn't mean you don't eat well. It means you eat fresh foods, fresh produce, fresh meats, fresh, whatever.
I think that cultural things that we're into in each era, you know, impact us. But there are ways to cut corners and get to where you want to go as long as you have a goal.
Right. My parents were kids of the Depression. So we learned to do the things you had to do to make it work. So it wasn't hard for me to give up some things because I never had them in the first place. My mom never let us get away with some of those things. So we shop the perimeter of the grocery store. Yep. We don't shop the center aisles. We don't shop the freezer case. We don't order the prepared meals or the vehicles that come up to your door. You make do, and you can afford to do a lot more things when you're not saddled with those kinds of habits and expenses.
Absolutely. Well, Marty, I think it's time for us to introduce Cora, don't you? So.
I think so too. And she is delightful.
She is delightful. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy our conversation with Cora, and we will catch you all next week.
Doggett simplifies the puppy buying journey by connecting families with the perfect breed and responsible, health verified breeders. They are the only breeder marketplace that verifies health clearances and responsible breeding practices. Through their personalized puppy matcher tool and matchmaker services, they educate and guide buyers every step of the way, ensuring a seamless process and a perfect match for their lifestyle. From initial breed consultation to introductions with top breeders, Doggett makes responsible puppy ownership easy and stress-free.
Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and Marty Greer is here, and we have a special guest. Cora is joining us, and Cora wants to be a veterinarian and a dog breeder when she grows up.
And you can be both.
And you can be both. And so we're super excited to have Cora join us, and Cora has some questions for Dr. Marty. So tell us, Cora, what would you like to know about becoming a veterinarian?
What is your favorite part of the job that you do?
I have two favorite parts.
Okay.
One is I love bringing puppies into this world, new life. I love puppies. I love the ability to breed dogs, to produce puppies. It's pretty cool. The second thing I love is helping people. And a lot of people go into veterinary medicine thinking that it's all about the animals. And it's a lot about the animals, but it's a lot about the people too. Mm-hmm. And just helping people support them in their lives with their pets or cattle or whatever.
Rabbits. You never know.
They hang out with. But I love the aspect of helping people and making their world better.
Does that sound like fun? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is pretty great. I also like that the same thing doesn't happen every day.
Yeah.
Every day is different. Every day is a little bit of a surprise. You go in the morning thinking you're going to have one kind of a day, and it doesn't always go that way. Mm-hmm. It's not a boring job, that's for sure. You're always on your feet, thinking on your feet, on your toes. It's pretty great.
Mm-hmm. And so you are practicing, learning how to be a veterinarian by helping out a dog breeder here in Seattle. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
How long have you been doing that?
Maybe about a month.
Just getting started.
Maybe two.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what happened 2 years ago when that litter of puppies came into your life.
My dog had 5 puppies.
5?
That's a lot.
That is.
And her name is Gambi, and it was chaotic but also fun experience.
Because no 2 days were ever the same, right?
Yes.
A little chaotic. Yeah. So what made it chaotic?
Well, we had them in December, mm-hmm. from December to February. So over Christmas, they were mm-hmm. here, and with school, too. Mm-hmm. And I remember the day they were born.
Were you home?
4:00.
In the afternoon or in the morning?
A.M.
Oh, so you got up really early.
Mm-hmm. And there were Basenjis, right?
Yes.
And what colors were they?
The first 2 were black. The 3rd and 5th were orange and
red.
Uh-huh. Red. And the 4th was tri-colored.
Ooh. Very good. Like, you remember them in order.
Yeah, that's really good.
That's mad skill. I can't do that.
How many were girls? How many were boys?
All of them were boys.
No.
What?
Really?
Yes.
Not a breeder's dream litter. Okay.
No, many of us want to have girls.
Yeah.
But we don't always get what we want.
No, we don't. No, we don't. And you got to, what was your job with the puppies?
I guess I was just helping out my mom a lot.
Was there cleaning, a lot of cleaning?
Mm-hmm. Was there
a lot
poopy?
Of laundry?
There was
poopy. Really?
Poopy.
Poopy puppies?
Puppies, poopy.
It happens.
It does. Poopy happens.
You had to clean up?
Mm-hmm.
Had to do the laundry? No, you don't do the laundry? Oh, you have a laundry service for that.
It's a mom.
Well, that's good.
So you raised those puppies up, and they went home to their new homes. And was that really, really hard?
When they left, yeah.
Did you cry?
No, but...
You didn't? I cry every time.
Oh, yeah. My daughter... I had to pull my daughter out of the back of a minivan one day. Because she was gonna go
going
go
on with the
puppy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know how that works. So did you help feed them?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Were they able to go outside before they left? Or was it too cold outside?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that inspired you to want to be a veterinarian?
Yes.
Like it.
That is very cool.
I like it. And so do you have plans in place already? I mean, you're 10, so I'm saying, think about it yet? Are you going to go to school and you're going to do this? What are you doing?
I haven't thought too much about it, but a bit.
A little bit?
Got to plan ahead.
Yeah.
Did you tell your parents that you're going to need some money? Okay. Good. As long as they know that.
And working for the dog breeder here, is that helping you earn some money for when you go to vet school?
I think so.
That's good. You got to have a plan, right?
Yeah.
All right. And so what do you do when you help with the dogs here at Katie's house?
The first time I was here, I learned about their feeding, the order,
mm-hmm.
and everything.
Because there's a definite order who gets fed first, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what happens if you go out of order?
I don't know.
She hasn't tested
it's
that.
It's bad. It's bad. I'm just telling you, it's bad.
Yeah, the dogs get a little offended if you don't have the system down. Mm-hmm.
So that's good. That's good. And what do you think working with dogs? Talk to me about the things that you're learning because of that. Can you think about that?
I'm learning a lot about how reproduction and anatomy.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah.
100%. And you're learning about timeliness, right? Mm-hmm. Stuff that you're going to use through your life no matter what you do. Mm-hmm. You have to be on time.
But I hear Katie has explained to you the blood tests and all the things we do to time the breeding and do that. Yeah, it's pretty interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, how the body works, different organs all work.
I want to know about the vomit kit.
Oh.
What's in the vomit kit?
3% hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah.
You need 2 tablespoons of it.
Yes.
And if it doesn't work the first time, you do it again.
Mm-hmm. And when do you use the vomit kit? When do you run to the vomit kit?
If a dog has eaten or swallowed something they are not supposed to.
Yeah.
And you know that won't go down very well.
Or will get stuck.
Yeah,
or it's bad. It's bad. Mm-hmm. That's good. That is a fantastic thing to know. And you can hope you never use, right? And did you learn about not leaving your socks where the dog can eat them so you don't have to use the vomit kit?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, socks, TV remotes. There's some things dogs really like to chew on that they really shouldn't.
Yeah, socks, shoes, other things.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, okay. And so why is Happy your favorite?
Because he's happy and I love the name.
It's perfect.
Sounds like one of the seven dwarfs.
Yeah.
Are there other,
Sneaky?
Six others? Grumpy? Is there a Grumpy?
Yeah, there's, I promise you there's a Grumpy. It's Basenji's. There's one down there somewhere. Yeah.
It just might not be what you call them officially.
And so you're also learning about which dogs are friends with which other dogs, right?
Yes.
Because they do have friendships.
100%.
Yeah.
And not friendships.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ones that don't want to play nice with each other. It's just like kids, right? You have friends and there are people in your class. You're like, that's good.
Peace out, you. Okay. And so that's important because those dogs could have a fight, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you need more than the vomit kit.
Yes, you do.
You need the suture kit.
Whole nother process.
Yeah, we don't really want to have to do
Nobody
that.
Wants to do that. No. You want to be a vet, but you don't want to have to learn to stitch them up just yet. Mm-hmm. Good call. I like that plan. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's your final question for Dr. Marty?
I have a question for you. Do you have pretty good grades? Good. And you like school? Good.
Do you like math? Oh, thank God.
Because you're going to need all of that.
All of that.
Yeah, and a lot of patience. That school's a long time, but it's the best job in the world.
Can you handle bad smells? Oh, good.
She cleaned up after puppies. Come on. Of course she can do it.
That's good.
She had the laundry lady helping her.
Yes, that's important. You don't always get a laundry lady, so I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah, someday you might need to run the washer and dryer. No.
You'll get there. I mean, that's next year. That's 11, right? Okay. Awesome.
There you go.
Awesome. Okay, so my final question for you, we know Happy is your favorite. Do you have a least favorite?
No.
Well, that's the right answer.
That's the right answer.
She loves them
that's
all.
Good. Mm-hmm. That's good. I like it. And so your Basenji is Gigi?
Gambi.
Gambi. I was so close. Darn it.
Started with the right
G, you know. And so what are the things that you do with Gambi at home? Do you do training things? Has Katie helped you learn some training things to do with Gambi?
No.
Not yet? That's on the list?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's great. What do you want to teach her? Do you have a favorite trick you want to teach her?
Not really.
Teach her to shake?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Okay.
Has Katie offered to take you to a dog show yet?
Oh, just you wait, man. Mm-hmm. I promise. It's coming.
It's coming.
And so if you want to be a dog breeder, you want to know about dog shows, right? Cool.
Yeah, they're pretty great. And there's some really wonderful ones around here.
Yeah. Seattle Kennel Club.
They're pretty fun to go to. Good. Well,
excellent.
There's a lot for you to look forward to.
All right.
A lot.
So, and you want to be a veterinarian. Do you want to be a veterinarian doing reproductive work? Is that what appeals to you?
Yes.
Yeah. We like that plan.
Yeah.
Start them out young, guys.
For sure. Yeah. She understands the hormones already. It's
yeah.
All,
she's got it.
It's all good.
Tell us, what does their progesterone need to get to before they're ready to be bred? Do you remember?
5.0.
Dang it.
5.0
she's
what?
On it. Yeah. 5.0 what?
Progesterone.
Remember the letters behind it?
No.
Nanograms. NG per ml. Yeah.
Yeah.
Five.
Yeah.
So there
five.
You go.
She already knows.
And then how long do you wait after it gets to five?
2 days.
2 days.
Yes.
You nailed it.
High five, child. You are on it.
Yep.
She can go to work for you tomorrow.
That'd be awesome. But the commute's going to be a problem.
It could be a challenge.
Yeah.
From Seattle to Wisconsin.
Yeah. Not sure mom's quite ready for her to go.
It snows in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Look at her. She's okay with that.
It's too cold in Seattle already.
Yeah, right. You'll be fine.
You'd be totally fine.
Although I don't know that Basenji's would.
Well, you get him a little outfit. Does your dog have an outfit?
Clothes, jacket, booties.
Sweater, scarf?
No.
Yeah. Well, if she goes to Wisconsin, she'll have to have a jacket.
She'll have to learn to wear one.
Yeah, Basenji's and clothes. Oof.
Yeah,
oof.
Might be a stretch.
Maybe a challenge? You think you'd have to talk her into that? You don't think she'd be like all down with it?
No.
No.
I do not.
Takes a little work.
Yeah, a little practice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I visited one of my farm dogs the other day, and he had a little Carhartt vest on her. Mm-hmm. Oh, she was so cute. Little canvas Carhartt vest. She thought she was all that in a bag of chips.
So I have to tell you, Cora, I had a Chihuahua. Her name was Puffball.
Okay.
And she was very pretty, little long coat Chihuahua. She had hair about your color. And if you tried to put an outfit on her, no, that was a no. And she would get this look on her face. And she gets so, look at her, she's scared.
Yeah, she's
it was terrible. She was so mad. She was offended.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of feeling like that would be the Basenji answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that's okay. Sure. I don't have to wear clothes.
It's okay. All right. Well, Cora, thank you for sharing your time with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And on kind of short notice.
Totally short notice. Mm-hmm. Like, just barely got out of school.
Yeah.
Still got her snack.
She's probably hungry.
She's hungry. All right. Thanks, you guys. We are so excited for Cora, and we will keep y'all posted.
That's right. We'll get those annual updates.
That's right. Mm-hmm. All right. Go get them, kid.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you for joining us on the Marty and Laura Show. We're excited to bring you these unique, fun, fact-based conversations about pet health. From pro tips on selecting your new dog to what your cat's cough means and what you should do about it. We'll meet you wherever you are, in the car, on the treadmill, walking the dog. And we'll bring you a good laugh, a great story, and a bright idea every week. We hope you'll join us on social. Stop by the website to sign up for an extra tip of the week for your pet. While you're at it, do us a favor, please, and leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. The Marty and Laura Show is produced by Pure Dog Talk, Inc. Sound design and editing by Premium Audio Services.